Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
I mean, we don't run a hike machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
I can sit here and look at other quarterbacks and peers and evaluate myself based on that and put myself in certain categories that I deserve to be compensated for that. And I think I'm a franchise quarterback. I've been told I'm a franchise quarterback. It's been said publicly from ownership down here. And so to not have a deal done is very disappointing.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning, hello, happy Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
95.
How we doing?
We're doing fantastic. It's a Friday. How we doing over there?
Yeah, I feel good Friday.
Everybody feeling good today?
Yeah, I think so.
Everybody's in good mood, ready to rock and roll?
Yeah. Yeah. I got to be careful here. You might go on another show and say I'm Mr. Grumpy Pants.
I'm dipping the toes in two different waters this week, man. They paid me extra time for that, though. I got a $20 Honey Bake Ham gift card.
I couldn't believe you agreed to stay for a half hour. It's one thing to do a hit. Hey, what's going on? It's another to be like, I'm going to stick around for two segments.
Look, he scratched my back many moons ago when you... I can't remember what vacation it was that you were gone, and he was like, you want me to come in and do some, like, 30 minutes at the end of the show? And I'm dragging. It's like 9:30. I'm like, yeah, dude, why not? Why don't you come in and do two segments? And he, like...
Oh, he offered it.
He offered it
so
up.
So you didn't ask him to do it.
No, but I will acknowledge I welcomed it with open hands of like, yeah, you want to come in here and talk for 30 minutes? Let's do it. And he has held that over my head for weeks. Like, every time Danny is out, there's a comment of like, hey, Dirt, you want to crosstalk today? And usually I'm like, no, not really. Not really. So that one, I was like, all right, let's get this out of the way. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. I offered and then hung out with P. Harris for 30 minutes.
Do you remember when crosstalk was a mandated thing
on
The Fan?
I do remember the Travis and Wilcox crosstalk days.
I always kind of... I found that an interesting time.
A lot of radio stations and shows still do it.
Yeah, I know the Chicago station does the crosstalk between some of their shows.
Our buddies in Omaha do. They do like an hour of it, I feel like, every day. It's like
they do an hour of
crosstalk? I don't know, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but it feels like it's a lengthy amount of like the interchange is like an hour between shows and everybody's just kind of mingling in the studio doing random conversations.
Well, I don't want to be mean here and disrespect because I know people put in a lot of work, but if you do an hour of crosstalk, you're basically telling me you've done an hour less of show prep.
Hey, you want to invite some other people in from 9
hey,
to 10 today?
You eat nachos lately? Yeah, man. I've had nachos.
I love nachos. I haven't had nachos in a while now that you bring it up.
I had nachos yesterday.
I might make some nachos this weekend. Nachos sound fantastic. What kind of meat you put on it?
So here's the thing. I went and ran a bunch of errands yesterday.
You got TCB for the weekend.
And I went to Costco, and as I was going through, I had my like three or four things I was going to get. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to cook.
I'm not the man.
Grabbed a rotisserie.
Yeah.
Right? Just grab the bag, move on.
Rotisserie chicken solid. Good
maybe
go-to.
Maybe 20 to 15 minutes after I got home. Mm-hmm. Bing, boom. It's ringing my doorbell.
Somebody trying to sell you
It's my mother and father-in-law.
Oh, hello. We're coming over.
Cooked chicken.
Oh.
Tacos, nachos, and like four other groceries.
Just ready to roll. Okay.
The chicken was already cooked, ready to eat. I took the rotisserie, I set it in the fridge, closed the door.
We'll eat that this weekend.
And I always say this to my wife. Yeah. I'm like, it's okay to not be perfect in communication.
Yes. No heads up at all that we're bringing food.
Not
a murmur.
My mom and dad are coming over.
Not
and
a
most
whisper.
Of the time, I tell her and she goes, what?
She doesn't even know.
I'm
huh?
like, you don't know your parents are coming over to the house?
Did they not call you? Did they not text you? You're not aware of this? Is there not a family group chat?
I mean, I love seeing them. I'm always happy when they show up. They usually always bring food. It's not a bad thing. It's more just like there is a zero heads up.
The surprise popping is a bold move, Cotton. If you're bringing food that alleviates some of it, but sometimes you're just not ready nor in the mood to entertain people.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a surprise is kind of my point here.
So they just do this on a regular basis?
No, I'm saying
I think people know and then don't communicate.
Don't tell you that they're coming, so it's only a surprise for you when it happens.
Yeah, because I saw a buddy of mine earlier this week, and I can't remember why or how, but something got brought up. Oh, I was picking up my delivery from Mr. Plywood.
Right.
And so,
you got to get your wood. How's your fence coming along?
I start next week.
Oh, big fence week.
But the buddy that helped me, he was the one we were waiting for the order to be loaded onto the trailer, and we were talking, and I was like, what are you getting into this week? And he's like, I'm going camping. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Where are you going? Timothy Lake. Your daughter's coming with me. What? Aren't you meeting us Saturday? What?
What are you talking about?
I was told you were going to be up there hanging out for the day at the lake, and
Don't
your
worry.
Kid's going with me. And I go, Sprague have not heard any of this.
Sprague will be there. Don't worry about it, all right?
So I go home.
He called me. I told him. I said, don't worry. Sprague will be there. He'll meet you there Saturday, all right? It'll be okay.
I see my wife, and I go, hey, I was just with so-and-so, and they told me, like, they're going camping, and our kid's going with them, and we're going. And she just turns, and she goes, oh, I forgot to tell you. And I'm like,
little heads up would be lovely.
That's a pretty big thing to
just not
tell me about.
Hey, we got friends in town. We're grabbing lunch on Saturday. That's not, hey, I'm going to get a coffee with a coworker.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that can fall into that silo. You're like, oh, all right, whatever. We go get lunch. That's not a big deal. Camping? That's a whole different ballgame.
Well, I'm not camping, first of all. That would be a day trip because I only live an hour from the lake. So that would be like a, hey, we're here. Okay,
hey,
see you later.
Okay, what time is it? Oh, got to get back. Let's go sleep in my own bed tonight.
But now we're not going because it's going to be like 60 degrees and maybe rain.
Weather
like,
took a little bit of a
day
turn.
At the lake.
Now we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, well, I just, you
don't
know.
Be signing me up for activities over here. Do you not have a shared calendar? Where's the shared calendar?
We do have a shared calendar.
You
got
to add it to the calendar. I've learned this because I always get yelled at for not adding things to the calendar.
Well,
you got to put it on the calendar.
She's 99% hit rate calendar ad.
Okay.
I always
this was a rare miss on her part of forgetting
it
to tell
rare. It happens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not telling me your parents are coming over and, oh, by the way, we're going to the lake an hour away for an entire day of your weekend. Right. Like, those get omitted from
don't
time
plan
to time.
Anything on Saturday, by the way.
The calendar thing, though, can we have a conversation?
Let's have a calendar conversation. I'd love to. Are we anti-calendar?
I'm not anti-calendar. I need to be better.
Yes.
This is a me problem.
Are you good at adding things to the calendar?
I'm usually pretty good.
Like you
when
book
I
a round
stuff.
Of golf, you're putting it on the,
I put it on the calendar.
Friday at 2 o'clock, I'm playing golf.
Fishing with my cousin.
Boom.
2 weeks out, added to the calendar.
Throw it on the board.
I don't like the calendar. I hate digital calendars.
Digital calendars suck.
It's not like on my screen, my iPhone screen is organized in categories. I don't have like a home screen and you see the calculator, the clock.
Right.
It's travel, 8 apps.
Right. It's in a different little bucket. You got to go into that bucket
so
to open up that app.
It's not readily sitting there. I know where it is, but like it's not just like right there in front of me at all times. I also know if we did a paper calendar, I'd never check it.
Wouldn't look at it nor write on it, probably.
We almost did one of those fancy schmancy digital calendars that families put on their wall and they color coordinate and they touch screen.
Look at that. From 6 to 7 a.m., we're having coffee. And then from 7 to 8 a.m., we're eating breakfast.
I'm just not going to look at it.
Right.
This is why last year I did the, what did I do? The handwritten itinerary
you
calendar.
You had your gay planner that you used every day.
I had my big gay planner.
You used it every day.
And I used it every day of last year.
It was notes.
And I don't, my daughter got me a new one and I ended up not really doing it again.
Fell out of fad for 2026.
I don't know what my deal is, dude. My organization of my life is just, it's terrible. And I feel like I'm alone here. The calendar thing, like you didn't add to the right family link. Like, okay, now I gotta color coordinate my
It's just too much work, man. Why is it taking so much organization just to exist as a member in a family?
I'm complaining about my wife being
organized and prepared.
Like, largely the most organized person in the family while also
puts a lot of pressure on you.
Admitting I suck at it,
right.
But I'm complaining about it. It's a weird, it's like a fat guy complaining about not being in shape. Yeah, I want to be in shape. Why are you exercising? I'm really into it.
The calendar is definitely controversial. Thankfully, we don't do the phone calendar, nothing phone calendar related.
We have decided in my house,
uh-huh.
You guys are far.
Yes.
And a galaxy away.
We're the champs.
The worst phone people.
We're the champs. We're
your
the absolute champs.
Your wife is
we have
somehow
trophies.
so much worse than you with a phone.
A million times worse than me. And I'm bad.
I don't get it.
She's horrible. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's egregious behavior.
If we're being honest here.
Oh, it's bad. If you need to get a hold of us, good luck, dude. Send a carrier pigeon.
Write a letter.
Maybe write a letter. We do get, Teddy loves getting the mail every day because
he
got one of those in-house slots. Goes into the, he pulls up the little chute. He loves doing that when he hears the mail come. My calendar beef is that my wife's into buying things that I don't think that we largely need around the house. One of those being she has bought multiple of the fridge calendars that have like the dry erase markers on it.
Oh, yeah, we did this.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we had one of those, and then it turned into Teddy sees that markers are on the side of the fridge in the calendar. He wants to stand on the counter and draw
on it.
So now it's like, well, that's just a moot point. I am pretty sure that up until about 2 months ago, the week that was written on the calendar on the fridge was Thanksgiving week. Because my wife got really into it, and she'd, like, do drawings. I think she drew, like,
a little turkey or something,
right? Gobble, gobble.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you. I think it was Thanksgiving on our fridge calendar for about 4 months. We just stopped using it. Teddy started drawing on it, and I'm like, why do we even have this? This is ridiculous. Well, guess what we did? We bought another one. Now, we also added a paper calendar to another wall.
Yeah.
But they don't always match. Sometimes there's things on the fridge calendar that aren't on the paper calendar.
Right.
And I'll look at that calendar and be like, wait, what's going on this day? And she said, no, it's on the calendar, but I just didn't look at the right calendar. We don't have a universal calendar system, and it creates utter chaos.
So what? Okay, so let me ask you this then. What if you can't decide on what actual handwritten calendar to use, why don't you guys use the phone calendar?
It's a great question.
Your calendar's just, and like if she adds something, right, your phone there.
Reminder.
We're doing dinner tonight at so-and-so's house.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a phenomenal. Based on her lack of track record with using phones, I don't know if that would ever actually happen, nor would it work. I think that's why we lean on the old school form of a calendar, which I do check from time to time. I always glance if there's something going on or if I want to play golf, like, all right, let's take a look. That weekend, we got nothing on the calendar. Okay, I think we got a freebie right there. But our hit rate of writing stuff on the calendar is probably 80% joint, and that creates chaos.
When do you think we started as a species doing this? Because you can't tell me in good faith guys and gals in the 70s were even doing, like, this has to be a new phenomenon of add it to the calendar.
Got to put it on the calendar. Got to make sure everybody's on the same page here.
But, and also, I think I know the answer to this question. It's like,
you didn't have cell phones back then either. So
awful a partner and father were dads in America
from
a certain point.
Pretty bad.
To a certain point when there was no cell phones. There was barely even telephones that people used regularly.
You're at work all day. You come home whenever you come home. There's no communication about when you're leaving work because you're not calling the home phone to say, I'm coming home.
They were coming home drunk. They had just cheated on their wives.
Right. It's 7 o'clock at night. The kids are going to bed in an hour. I only got an hour of work here today at home. All right, that's it. I'm going to go have another cocktail.
That's what it had to have been in society, right?
The golden age of the American man. That's what they say.
Whenever I watch Mad Men, I'm like, geez. He's never at home. He's always in the city.
Watching the Wonder Years. Where's the dad, man? Why isn't the dad? He's only there on the weekends. What happens during the week?
I wouldn't do that, actually. I'd want to go home and hang out with my family, but it's funny to think about.
There's been a lot of studies that have done that have proved that. Like the role of the modern dad.
Oh, it's infinitely
has
better.
Grown exponentially.
I think you and I, our generation, even compared to Swag's generation, which is the one before us.
Yeah.
I think they've done studies, and it's like we are 65% more present as fathers than even his generation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was unique because my dad was a school teacher.
Yeah.
And my mom worked regular office jobs. So my dad was always
the one. He was the one that was available
in the summer.
He
would usually get dinner started. He was there in the summer. So in the summertime, there would be, like, wherever he was taking us, it would be my dad and seven moms of my friends or whatever.
He'd be the one dad in the
group. Somebody your dad's age, because I bet you if they did the studies back then,
it was probably the same.
It was even more not around. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
that was the way my childhood. My dad worked in St. Helens for my entire life.
That's a hike.
It's a haul. Yeah. And so not really being around in the morning, sometimes take us to school, and then you're off work at whatever time you're off work, and you're dealing with traffic coming back from Salem. Who knows what time you're going to get back at night?
Oof.
Mom was a high school counselor, and she'd be home. School would end at 3:30. She'd get the hell out of there because she'd show up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then, all right, there's mom. She's home for the rest of the day.
That's why you love your mom more.
That's how it happens. And it is. I am the reverse. I'm kind of like Swag's dad in that case. Like,
yeah,
I
am too.
I'm daddy daycare because of our job. We get done early, and there we go. Let's go watch the kids.
What's odd is that's me, but my wife works from home.
That is unique.
And she has, well, I don't care for what I say, but,
she's always working when she's at home, constantly.
There's never away from that computer.
There are no breaks.
Not a chance.
There's no walking away. There's no TV shows getting watched.
No.
None of that is happening. No exercising taking place. Grinded day in and day out.
So maybe the ultimate conclusion of the conversation is just like, some people are really good at organization. Like, I really commend people that, like, you're on it. You're dialed. You have your hours organized. You have, there's a guy that I don't follow, but he's popping in my algorithm from time to time, and I'm kind of concerned why.
Uh-oh.
And he's a podcast guy, but he's, like, one of these, not, like, grifting wellness guys, but, like, his life is all about structure. So he'll put his day on Instagram, and it'd be like,
here's my schedule.
4:30 wake up, and it's him, and he's stretching, and then he's in an ice bath and a sauna, and he's washing his face.
It's like that Mark Wahlberg day. Yeah, I wake up at 2 a.m. to pray.
It's one of those guys. And I just, like, I look at it, and I just go, F you, man.
That seems miserable. Why do you want it to be that structured?
I mean, it's okay to be structured, but it's
too structured. I think there's a balance there. There's got to be some free-flowing. There's got to be some, little jazz lifestyle. You can't have everything dialed into the minute.
And that's what, there's a part in the video, like he goes and runs like a half marathon for fun at a track and then lifts for 30 minutes. And
what do you do for work?
Then he's in an office on a laptop of the video. It's like for 3 hours. I'm like, what did you do? And then the next video is him with his son, and it literally shows 1 hour. And I'm like, you structure your playtime with your kids with a time limit?
Nah, that's not normal behavior right there.
That's not. It's sicko mode.
That's not good. I do feel like the calendar pressure for parent, like when you're a parent of kids your age, much more pressure on the calendar, I feel like. Because you guys are you got kids have friend activities, sleepovers happening, sporting events are going on.
Yeah.
What time's practice? What time's game? Who's dropping off? Who's picking up? Like that, there's a lot more going into the calendar in your stage of life than there is in mine.
But
we don't have that. I mean, it's preschool. It's pickup time.
Yeah.
You got to drop off. Swim lessons when they happen. There's not a lot going on during the week.
Okay, so then as somebody who grew up with a single mom.
Yeah.
We didn't have a calendar.
No calendar.
How did my mom remember everything?
That's a great question.
There were
question.
Two of us.
That's a great question.
We both played, he played sports not as much as me, my little brother. But
there were teams and practices.
But I was
involved.
Always playing sports.
There's always somewhere you got to go.
How did she know?
That's a great question.
Because I didn't have a lot of days where it was like, oh, I had practice today.
Ah, damn it. We missed practice. Why didn't we go?
And maybe I was more responsible as a child than I even realized. I got practice in 40 minutes.
40 minutes. We got to get going.
Yeah.
We got to leave in 15 minutes. Let's go.
Or I'd catch a ride or something if I couldn't. She couldn't give me a ride.
I mean, it changes the older you get, obviously. Like, once you get to high school age and you can start shuttling yourself around, there's a little less importance to that.
Yeah.
Or you have friends who have the ability to come pick you up. Like, that changes the equation a little bit.
Yeah.
But middle school age, man, it's like I feel like 90% of parenting of middle school age kids is just being a taxi driver.
So my conclusion probably from talking this out is I think I'm pretty normal.
Yes.
In the conversation and topic of
nothing weird about it.
Calendars and not being great and not liking it, but knowing I need to be better at it, but probably knowing I'll never be good at it.
I think that's how 98% of people are with calendars.
They
certainly serve a purpose.
It
is nice to know when things are happening. You just got to have an accountability system in the household of adding things to the calendar. When they happen, try to remember the best that you can.
Look at my calendar today and see what's on my calendar.
See what you got. What do you got?
There's
coming
always
up at 2 o'clock
like
today?
Rant. See, this is partially why I don't, and I know why it's added, but it like says take rabbit out from 5 to 7 a.m. That's not my chore.
Why is that on my calendar?
The rabbit needs 2 hours.
It's a 2 hour takeout period.
Oh, dude, we've learned a lot about having a buddy. Let me tell you right now.
You gotta let those things hop around.
We got it a nice and case closed, cage thing to be in, like really nice.
And
it's in my daughter's bedroom, and it looks really cool, actually. It doesn't look like a traditional cage. They go absolutely out of their minds if you don't let them roam for hours a day. Oh, man.
You just got to let them free around the house, huh?
Dude.
Are they dropping little pebbles on your carpet?
Are they
pretty good?
We put her in the backyard.
Okay.
Hangs out on the deck or the front porch.
Let them hop around in the back.
We're not doing we did the carpet once. And we're like, dude, there's like 9 pellets here. What are we doing? So we don't do that. But
we're
going to
pick that all up.
There's reminders on my calendar for take an animal out. It's not my chore, so I don't want to look at calendar anymore.
Yeah, that's also one of those calendar things of like, that needs to be on the calendar, just take them out. Why does it matter what time you take the rabbit out? Does it have to be at that time every day?
Yeah, it's just a reminder, basically. Give it some time.
Get that rabbit some sunlight, man. Get it some vitamin D.
Well, speaking of calendars, we got to stick to clocks on the radio program, so we're at least organized enough for that.
Did we put everything on the calendar for the show today?
I think so.
Okay, everything's on.
If there's something we're missing, we'll get to it.
Shared calendar for today.
It's a lot of audio. We got a guest in the cafe again today.
We do. College football.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. He was at Big Ten Media Day because it was in his backyard of Chicago, and he's going to join us coming up at 7:04 a.m., we'll get some odds and ends. We've got some fun NFL and college football audio. We'll get to a lot of the Big Ten coaches. Jed Fish saying something out loud to a local media reporter, and I was like, yo, you're gone.
Red flag.
If he leaves, I'm going to know why, and this was the hint right here of like, all right, see you later.
The groundwork has been laid.
I don't want to do that to Husky fans. They don't deserve it, but he said something yesterday that has to make you feel like, cool. We're never going to be great.
What happened to all those CEOs at practice?
No.
I thought Ballmer was there.
Developing. So we have a lot to get to today. It's going to be a fun Friday show. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going. 105.1, The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Adam Rittenberg's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. Dive into some college football. Boy, Cignetti, the king of that sport right now.
Say whatever the hell you want, man. You won a national title at Indiana. Now, to be fair, he said whatever he wanted before he won a national title at Indiana. But we all kind of collectively laughed at him a little bit. And now, dude, nobody can say anything. You were the king of the sport.
Well, and the thing is, I've always had a theory, and I've long held the belief. It's not that people aren't funny, but the more famous you are, I think the harder people laugh at the non-funny.
Yeah, like the more successful you are, the bigger of a deal you are.
Like if an actor or a comedian, if Shane Gillis walked in here
right,
and just said, what up?
What up, turds?
S-heads.
Yeah.
You.
Shane Gillis is in the studio,
Shane Gillis,
man.
Called me an S-head.
He knows my name.
So I think that I've always believed that there's an element of celebrity that elevates even how funny somebody
is. Without a doubt there is.
And I think that's the same thing in football. Like, the more successful he is, the better the answers even come off, even though they were great before he won the whole enchilada.
Yeah, that I know we'll get all the audio today, but some SEC fan tweeted, man, I can't wait for Kurt Cignetti to get humbled. And I think it was Ari Wasserman who quote tweeted it and was like, dude, he won a national championship at Indiana. What do you think is going to humble this guy?
A 10-2 season, not winning the title? Like okay.
A decade of 3-9, maybe, but that ain't happening, brother. I don't think anything's going to – nothing will humble this guy.
Yeah.
He pulled off the most incredible feat in sports that we have ever seen.
Yeah.
Maybe sans 1982, do you believe in miracles? It's like it's 1A, 1B of the most unthinkable accomplishments in the history of sports.
I know we debated it, but I still wonder in my head, what is the more improbable? Because I don't have enough of a hockey fandom. And I understand, like, what the Russians were, and this was a bunch of college-aged kids. I get it all. I didn't see it live. I've seen the game on the replays and the old highlights, but Indiana winning the national championship.
It's one of the most unthinkable things ever.
It's just never going to make sense in my brain. Yeah. I wanted to ask you very quickly. We'll pivot back into – I'll get in some NFL stuff here before we get to Rittenberg. We got some cafe audio we'll get to in the second hour. I'm going to ask you a random baseball question.
Fire away.
So I want to play this cut. This is Tim Kirkjian of ESPN.
You see, by the way, Carl Ravitch is still calling games for ESPN.
I saw it last night because he was calling my team's game.
He's going to do that a few more times.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
he's doing it the rest of the summer.
They're leasing him out for the rest of the year, but we had to fire him now.
They clearly have a buyout, right? So there's probably some verbiage in there where like, hey, you can still call stuff because we actually need a broadcast. He's going to do Little League World Series.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to call games the rest until, like, September.
I mean, it's nice to hear his voice still. I turned it on last night, or I was flipping around, and I'm like, is that? Yeah, well, yeah, that's Carl Ravitch right there. Thought he got fired a couple of weeks ago.
Who was the biggest name to be let go by ESPN?
from an attention standpoint, it has to be Ryan Clark, does it not?
Yeah, because it's the NFL and...
Yeah, I mean, he was a controversial guy. He gives takes.
And he's at ESPN for 30
years.
I mean, he's a more tenured guy, that's maybe almost, a more respected media member. Lives. Those might be. Yeah, he's. I mean, I've never known an ESPN essentially without Carl Ravitch. He's been there since the beginning days.
Yeah, other than the Berman, I don't know Berman. Who's been there.
Is Berman still technically with him?
I believe so. Doesn't he still do his like Sunday feature on ESPN?
Yeah, they
Plus?
Do the NFL primetime. Oh, it's they do just it on the. Plus, right. It's on the app rather than live. Right.
He still
on the
does
air,
his but... Monday Night Football fastest 2 minutes. I think during halftime.
Yeah, I see that. I've seen that.
Halftime of Monday Night Football, you'll get that.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think he's still technically. They've just kind of slowly.
Yeah.
Jay
Harris has been there a long time. Steve Levy's been there a long time.
Yeah, Levy's a good poll. Linda Cohen just retired. She would have been in this
retired.
Category.
She was
just
there
retired.
30 some odd years, yeah.
Is there anybody there that we're going to go in 20 years like, whoa, they let him go? That's not named Scott Van Pelt? Like an anchor.
Ooh.
Can you even name the SportsCenter anchors right now?
Other than SVP and the classics that Swag just pointed
there
out?
There was a
Nicole
guy.
Nicole Briscoe and Michael Eaves are
they
the
do,
nighttime
duo.
Ones.
Yep, they're ones I see before I go to bed. There was a guy with Buchagross, and I don't know what his name is, but he sometimes scares me. His face. He has like a... he's got a look.
Oh, Phil? Is that the guy, Phil?
Phil?
I don't know.
Yeah, Phil. What's
I can't
up
even
Phil?
Pretend to know what his name was, but he was doing a SportsCenter with Buchagross the other day, and he was making faces, and I was like, what's going on here?
This is making me a little...
He's going to come out of my television like the Ring Girl.
This is making me uncomfortable.
Murder me. But like,
he's
I
got
don't...
very pronounced eyebrows.
Yeah, and he's got dark
hair.
Yeah,
his name's Phil. I can't remember what his last name is.
Old Phil.
Yeah, I can't name the anchors anymore.
To your point, though, outside of SVP, he's the one that we hold on to from a legacy standpoint because he's been there for so long. We just don't have the same relationship with SportsCenter anchors.
Well, Hannah Storm was there, left, and came back.
Yeah.
She's still there, though.
Yeah, but she does afternoons and mornings and stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just
She'll
not
do,
in
like,
touch
the weekend
it.
Mornings.
Yeah, it's hard to get, like, I don't want anybody to lose a job, but it's hard to be, like, broken up about it when they fundamentally as a company have just...
Well, Ravitch wants to still call baseball games, MLB Network will pick him up, or
he'll land
Apple
somewhere.
TV or anybody, any
Netflix
of the streamers want to get more into
it.
Yeah,
I mean, look, you can make an argument of how you let somebody go after a certain amount of years. I'm not here to make that argument. It's more just like...
Yes.
The name recognition. Yeah. They, as a company, have basically told us we only care about hot takes and wrestling now.
Yeah, pretty much.
And digital content, because McAfee drives that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I remember when Baseball Tonight was every night on ESPN.
Yep.
And that was before the MLB Network. And I understand where ESPN's like, MLB Network's doing our half-hour show 3 hours a night, basically, now.
Yeah, I still think it was a bad choice. It was a good show to have on.
It was a good show, man. Baseball Tonight used to be great.
Well, Tim Kirkchin was on ESPN Radio and talked about Tarek Skubal and where he could end up.
Everyone wants him, but those who want to sign him long-term have to be the most lucrative of the teams. And you always have to look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers have, you know, all sorts of injury issues in their rotation, including with Shohei Ohtani. They're not quite sure when he's going to come back as a pitcher. They have the most money. They have all the resources. So, of course, that's the first place you have to look.
Oh, Tiny's got a boo-boo.
Oh, he's got a boo-boo. He can't pitch right now.
The Dodgers are the favorite right now to land Tarek Skubal.
We're already heading for a lockout. You ready to pit the accelerator on that lockout? Let Skubal go to the Dodgers and sign a $900 million extension.
And he defers $910
million. See you later, baseball! We'll pay you $4 a year, and then when you retire, we'll give you $500 million a season.
You're looking at it wrong.
I'm looking at it wrong.
Oh, yes, this is the wrong
take.
Please,
inform me.
Enlighten us.
Mr. Dodger.
I don't think they have any intention of signing him. They can afford to give up prospects or whatever to get him on a rental.
They're struggling financially. They don't want to pay.
Why couldn't they pay him?
The best one of the best.
They could pay him. I don't know that they necessarily will because...
He's one of the best arms in the game.
I understand all of that. They won't do it initially because of the lockout. So there's that. If he decides to go... They still have a trove of starting pitchers if they can figure out how to get him healthy. So it's not like him signing an extension is contingent upon the deal happening.
No, that's certainly not the case. He doesn't have a no-trade clause either. He can't control where he's going to go. But there is always the idea, if you were to trade for a guy and give up a haul of prospects, which is what it will take to get him,
right?
How many teams are willing to do that without some sort of thought of
the
we Dodgers have a chance to
sign this
guy? The
Dodgers are the only one that would do it without needing to have the extension done.
Have the Dodgers ever traded for somebody at the deadline and let him walk immediately in the offseason?
The Brewers are
not
dabbling
like
in that.
20 years ago in this current administration.
You can't name anybody.
I'm trying to think.
They traded for Mookie. What'd they do with him?
Locked him up.
They locked him up.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, locked him up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Why would you? You wouldn't want to let him go. Him and Ohtani on the in your rotation.
Why would you not want to pay him? Why would they not want to pay him?
I don't think you make that trade unless you're paying him.
I disagree with the take.
That depends on how much Detroit wants back.
I mean, my and team's in the running for him. They're going to want a pretty penny for this dude.
Oh, I understand.
My team's like, oh, should we give up our prospects? I'm like, please do it.
Dude, trade
Chris
the hell out
Sale
of your prospects.
Chris Sale and Tarek Skubal in my lineup?
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
go.
Sale's been awesome. That's a great 1-2 punch throughout the NL playoffs. There's just it gets back to the stuff we talked about with Giannis at the deadline or at the trade this offseason. Like, are you willing to give up everything for 1 year? How many teams are willing to roll the dice on that? That not everybody's willing to make that go.
I think Skubal wants to be hopping around. Like, he's made it clear he didn't want to be traded in Detroit.
This is it. Like, he's going to be a free agent this offseason.
But how many brands right now in that sport are better than that one?
Than the Dodgers?
Yeah,
none,
right? So, and you're in L.A.
That's where he wants to go because they win World Series and they have more money than anybody.
I know.
Hence why that trade is likely going to happen.
Well, and you never say never, but it feels like if it happens, it's going to be Kevin Durant on the Warriors. And they've already won two World Series.
Yeah, if they go get Skubal and win a third in a row,
it's gonna really kill my. And my team's good. Like they won yesterday and
came
back.
Went through a little lull, but you guys are still hanging on, great. In
first
place.
We're in first place. Yeah. Phillies are sinking a little bit. Like I have a good team. They might make a trade for a pitcher because my staff outside of Chris Sale blows.
Not very good.
Grant get another Holmes, arm. No thank you.
You want Robbie Ray? He's available. He's having a good year.
I'm not mad at the idea.
We'll send
of
you
Robbie Ray.
Give me a call. What do your prospects look like?
What about a Luis Arraez?
Take him. You go ahead. You want Matt Chapman too? You want Willie Adames? You guys need a shortstop?
My point is, like, even when you have a good team, there is just, if they get Tarek Skubal, there's going to be something that's so fundamentally like, man, all right, see you later.
I just love the way that
I won't be that excited for the playoffs. I'll watch.
I'm already not excited for the playoffs. Just get it over with. We're going to a lockout. The sport's going to die.
They're so good.
I love the way that we talk about them. That quote from Tim Kirkham was perfect. Well, you know, their starting pitching's really banged up. Quick question for you.
Sure.
Maybe you'll know the answer to this off the top of your head.
I probably won't. It's Dodger related, but go ahead.
Who leads the Major League Baseball and wins this year? Who has the most wins in the entire sport?
I believe
who has the best record in the sport?
I believe that is the LA Dodgers.
Okay, I was just checking on that because I heard their starting rotation's pretty banged up right now, so they're having a hard time overcoming that.
Who has the best run differential in the entire sport?
Man, it's got to be the Colorado Rockies, right? No, can't be them. Let's see, who could have the best run, which means you score a lot of runs and you don't give up that many runs, right?
Yeah, but they're hurt pitching-wise.
But they can't get anybody out, so there's no way it's the Dodgers in their best record in Major League Baseball. With all of their starting pitching injuries, there's no way they can overcome that.
They are a plus 160 run differential. To give you a reference point,
who's in
on
second
that,
place?
It might be. Oh, it's the Brewers plus 132, and then my team, the Bravos, are at 97.
So they're they are 70 runs better than the Atlanta Braves, who have the third best record in the National League.
It feels that way, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean it is, and it feels that way.
Have fun with Skubal.
They almost have. They don't, but they almost have a better run differential as one team than the Rays, Yankees, and Red Sox combined. I'm not kidding.
You got a boo-boo, get pitch.
More than three teams, and two of those are the Red Sox and the Yankees. Do you understand how insane that is?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, Bob.
Yeah.
That's my whole take coming
into the
year.
The Dodgers have a 160 run differential, and the Rays, Yankees, and Red Sox combined. Have a 180.
180.
Yeah. It's unfair.
Yeah, but yeah, no, they
can't wait for you to not watch them three-peat.
They need some pitching help, though. They could desperately use another arm come postseason.
So are you going to watch the Dodgers sweep their way to a third? No, on a nice jaunt tonight.
We know that they're winning. What's the point of watching? Call me when the game's over. I'll pop a bottle of champagne.
That's exactly what he's going to do. kind of miserable when you think about celebrating a championship if your team three-peats.
Look, the rhetoric is already nasty in the sport. If the Dodgers are to pull that off and get him, I don't know if they will or not.
They're the favorites.
They're certainly the favorites.
Yeah.
If they pull that off, whoo, buddy, it's only the heat in that kitchen's only going to get turned up.
I understand that for baseball, for many people, I told my brother-in-law the other day, I went, damn it, because I couldn't watch the Brave game, and I saw that they had lost. Mm-hmm. The Mets just owned us. The Mets beat them, and I went, damn it. And he goes, what? I go, my team lost to the Mets. He goes, you don't care.
You're still seven games up in the division.
Well, the Phillies have sucked. His point is valid. I think there's a lot of people that are my brother-in-law.
Sure.
You're not
living and dying with a result on a Tuesday night against the Mets.
It's July baseball.
It's game 111 of 162, man. You're going to be all right.
Don't let it happen, Major League Baseball. Somebody step in and do something. A lot more to get into. Adam Rittenberg's going to join us coming up at the top of the 7 a.m. hour. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, Riggins, I hate to point it out, but somebody texted in. Your team did participate in the trade and no signing. Can you name the player?
I'm trying to remember.
Pretty big famous player.
Yeah. Pretty big player.
Manny Machado. Games.
That's right.
Manny Machado left in free agency.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed out Trey Turner. Trey Turner did but eventually leave, but he had a year and a half left on his deal.
Oh, okay. So he
before
just
he
out.
Hit, so he played out and then hit free agency and then signed in Philly.
Because it was all right around the time they got Mookie, and that was the thing. Why did they give Mookie the contract and didn't give Machado or Trey or other guys?
They made the right decision, didn't they?
They did, and it also had to
save
do
the money for Freddie Freeman
with
and
their
Ohtani and Blake Snell and.
It was also
Glasnow and
where they had guys in the development that they thought they could bring up.
Yeah. Development, that's what that team's about. Never getting any players from outside of their organization.
Well, they do both.
Yeah. Yeah. Built, not bought. Lunch pail you over there in L.A. Shop as for me.
Ducks, man, I'm telling you, with the Oregon's little NIL spending this season, I don't know how there's any chance we're going to have an opportunity to compete. We certainly need, as Jed Fish pointed out, yes, Oregon's needs to up their NIL game if we want to be serious in college football.
That is true. Let's get to this. I want to ask you about unwritten rules of decency.
Oh.
Because there's somebody that is crossing the line in college football and doing something to his teammates that, look, it's probably funny, but also you got to worry about pink eye here. Take a listen to Jamar Johnson.
Sometimes Dante farts in the huddle, and we have like a little competition of who can fart in the huddle. But I would say really everybody, but mostly Tay because he farts a lot.
How did this farting in the huddle tradition start?
Oh, my gosh. Who said that, JJ? I knew it. Too much stuff is getting leaked out.
Pun intended.
You gotta find ways to connect with your team, so we do that.
There's Dante Morin.
Those are my guys right there. A lot of nervous energy going into this year. You know what put me at ease?
The fart?
Dante's farting in the huddle.
Yeah.
It's a vet quarterback move.
Brenna Green and Coin, by the way. Let me cite that.
Brenna Green had some good content at Coin. She had some funny. She did a funny one with Lanning, too. I saw where she asked him chocolate or vanilla, and that was kind of funny. He gave the chocolate with peanut butter answer. He was like, because I'm his boss, I can say whatever the hell I want, which was a good response. And then he basically made fun of him for that answer. He was like, yeah, he had to wear that one on the chin around the facility for a while. And I think the coaches were probably making fun of him. As one quarterback to another, the fart in the huddle is a vet move. Well done, Dante. I'm proud of you.
Is this something you regularly participated
in? Dude, you got to ease the tension, baby. Everybody's tight as a corkscrew out there. What eases the tension better than a fart? Nothing. Oh, hey, what was that? And then your left guard hits you with one back.
What's the over-under number set that the first, what we would classify as big game for Oregon? So maybe you look at USC just on the
USC's
schedule.
The first
USC's
big game,
the first one.
I mean, other ones are interesting, but big, no.
What's
USC.
The over-under of people that tweet the exact same thing if he throws a pick in that game?
Oh.
Chocolate or vanilla?
That was vanilla.
Couldn't choose chocolate.
Needed Rocky Road.
All of the writers.
Without a doubt.
I know how they operate. They're all going to do the same tweet.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to go.
Or the first time he throws
a touchdown.
The tweet
needs to be, hey, he needs to let one rip.
Yeah. Well,
let it rip, Dante. Let it rip, buddy.
I tell you, this would actually upset me if this came out. I wouldn't want people to know this about me.
Yeah, this is the danger of media days. You get guys in microphones and cameras and you say something, and now this is known that Dante Moore is a huddle farter, but you got to be a huddle farter, dude. Strong butt pats and huddle farting.
That's the difference from tight ends talking. Tight ends don't care.
They don't have a filter.
Quarterbacks have to be buttoned up with, you know.
Like, dude, I'm a first-round pick. Now some NFL
and that's
GM's
why Dante
ask me
knew
about this next
Jamari
year in the draft.
Who yeah. said it.
Who was like, it? Jamar, damn it. Come on, man.
You know one of those linemen wants to participate in this game, but is too afraid because he doesn't know what it's going to be like
when
it comes out.
Mark Slarish and just crap his pants in the middle of the game.
Be Big Stink Jr.
Sorry, guys. Need a quick timeout here. Give me a 20. I got to go change real quick. That one was
damn it, Fox Crater.
Damn it, Crater.
What are you doing?
Get out of our huddle. You just crapped your pants, man.
I mean, look, it's good for camaraderie. They seem to really enjoy it. It's just a funny admission that, like,
it was hilarious.
One of the best Heisman candidates in college football this year is just regularly farting in front of his teammates.
And the question, so she did, I watched the at-length one because she was doing, like, basically fun questions of, like, who's the teammate that's most likely to not be ready to go on a trip and not pack? Who's the teammate that's likely to forget something?
She took the right approach because if we did Media Day, I don't think I would have real We did Pac-12 Media Day once.
Yes.
And it was very overwhelming. In no way were we actually getting people, because Swag wasn't there.
No, he was coordinating from behind the scenes, and it just
And
was...
it wasn't his fault, no. But we were getting players we didn't even know their names. They were like, this is so-and-so.
Some linebacker from Stanford
sat down.
And we
would look up the Phil Steele magazine like without them noticing, like, that's a
So we got big expectations this year for John. Hey, there we go.
And I didn't like that part of it, but we had good conversations with a lot of people. I would be way more laxed if we went next year to Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah, the question to him was, who's most likely to make a joke in the huddle? That was the question. And he said,
Dante farts.
Dante's tooting. Yeah. He's tooting in here, man.
As P1 Tyler points out, confirmed, duck football stinks.
Ooh.
Ba-doom-tsh.
That's actually not a bad idea for a t-shirt.
Well,
there, TM, okay, TM.
If you didn't
hear
Dante
that cut. Dante with the afro.
If you didn't hear that cut, you'd be like, what?
Here's your idea, right? You know, you ready for this? TM, go. TM, okay, my lawyers are involved. His afro, by the way, looks fantastic.
It's great.
Just a phenomenal look. Dante with the afro, no helmet on, full uniform, striking a Heisman pose with a little coming out of the butt.
Don't know if he
with
wants to
let it rip or whatever.
Let it rip is a great line.
Would that not be a great?
Why are we not making?
I would buy that t-shirt in a heartbeat.
Let it rip.
Would you not buy that t-shirt?
Do the duck calls?
But there's
got to
be a little poof coming out of his butt.
Here in the stands, has everybody got whoopee cushions?
That is a brilliant idea.
Okay, can I ask you?
Can a 2-year-old handle a whoopee cushion? I'm thinking about buying Teddy a whoopee cushion.
What do you mean handle it?
Like, is he going to figure out like what? I think he'll get it. The gist of it, right?
I think he'll think it's funny, but he won't really
won't actually play with it.
No.
Okay.
Whoopee cushions were always something that like. In theory and thought, good idea.
Seems smart, yeah.
You
but
do
it's
it
a,
once.
It's a one trick
it
play.
It really is.
You're not wrong.
And sometimes, like, if you don't do it perfectly, it'll deflate and you hear it a little bit, but they might not hear it. Yeah. And you're laughing and they're like, what?
What are you laughing at?
And then it's not really funny because you're having to explain, did you fart?
Who's that?
No.
You farted in the room?
Now it's just an awkward thing. And you get womp womp. You got to pick up the whoopee cushion underneath the
couch
cushion.
It's all floppy under the cushion. Yeah. It's got dog hair all over it now.
Yeah. I'll say this. I want to ask you, does it leave you more hopeful if he keeps the fro all year, just free-flowing and out?
Yeah.
Or he shows up to Southern California and he's got the tight, perfectly done braids.
The fro will always make me feel good.
Yeah.
It will always. I mean, it's just such a clean look.
It is a clean look.
That's one of the reasons I've always loved Scoot.
Especially that side. You don't get a lot of athletes that grow it out to that length.
To that level, too.
Yeah.
I've always rooted for Scoot, primarily because of the he just looks cool. He wears the one wristband. He's got an afro. You look like Rod Strickland with an afro, and I want this to work out in the NBA. Please execute at this level. If he rocks the fro all year, confidence is going to stay high.
If Dante Moore played exactly how he played last year, but he played for Ohio State or Indiana or Michigan, how would you feel about Dante Moore as a pro prospect?
I would feel like I feel about almost every quarterback that comes out. I see it. There's great traits there.
Are you afraid of it?
I don't know if I'm afraid of him in big games. No, I don't think he's shown enough to make you afraid of him. That's one of the big challenges of him this season, is showing that he can do it in bigger moments. And until he does that, there's the idea of why would I be afraid of this until I think anybody who is not at a you know, nose-to-nose talent level with Oregon, a la Ohio State, Indiana, like the upper echelon teams in the Big Ten, you should be terrified of him because he shredded those defenses all year. USC, Washington, he had a really good game.
Was it Wisconsin?
The Wisconsin game easily was his worst, yeah. They were all bad in that game.
The whole offense was terrible in that game.
He then broke his nose. He confirmed that he broke his nose, and they took him out of the game, and they were just like, this is stupid. Get him out of here.
That's right. They brought in Brock Thornton, right?
Brock Thomas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wanted to say Brock Purdy after you said Brock Thornton. And in the moment, I'm like, that's not Brock Purdy.
They had a lineman named Brock Thornton, didn't they?
Throckmorton.
Throckmorton.
That was a few years ago.
Name better.
Let me pull up the rest of his game log, though. But, yeah, I think the Wisconsin game was easily the worst. That was weather dictated a little bit, though.
I don't know what his final numbers ended up being from the Iowa game. That was another bad weather game. But
it wasn't good till the final drives. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
He was, in the Wisconsin game, 9 of 15 for 86 yards. They won 21-7.
And
the
that
Iowa
weather
game,
was far worse in person than I think people on television
understood.
It was
windy, it was rainy, it was horrible. Yeah. The Iowa game, similar. He was 13-21 for 112 yards and a pick.
Yeah, and go back to the fourth quarter. How many of those 112 in the fourth?
I would be willing to bet
that was
60
like half
of those
the yardage on the final drive.
That was a punt game.
Yeah. Outside of that, I mean, every other game, he wasn't perfect against Northwestern, but really everybody else outside of Indiana, he was fantastic.
He's just fascinating to me because I cannot tell you that I think bust, but like I'm trying to really say.
I saw somebody comp his game just from an aesthetic standpoint to CJ Stroud.
I saw that too.
And I can see it.
I don't know where I am on him yet. I think to your point, when he shows up and they start playing some of their big contests and he puts up real numbers and just looks like, oh my God, he's totally understanding everything.
Yeah.
I think I'll reach a conclusion, but right now I'm still kind of stuck in this, like, if my team had the second or first pick in the draft.
You wouldn't be psyched about taking
it. I don't know how excited or...
Talk yourself into it, probably, because you want to be optimistic as a fan. But
yeah.
I think that's a case study of almost every college quarterback.
Some
outside
of, them
of the rarefied ones that stand out. Everybody else is like, I mean, I guess I could see it.
I mean, look at Tyler Shuck.
But
there's a lot of buzz on Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
And you and I were like, we watched it play. He couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe there's buzz in New Orleans now with Tyler freaking Shuck.
He was back throwing at Oregon this offseason.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, go to one of your other lovers, Tyler. Huh?
What's he in the NFL? Is he a duck?
I don't know what he classifies. He can't classify as a duck, can he?
Is he a cardinal?
He's got to be a cardinal. You got to go last one, don't you?
I think so.
Last lover's got to be the one that you shout out.
Loaded second hour of the radio program. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague's been extended. We'll get to some audio, but we'll kick it off with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, who was at Big Ten Media Day. His takeaway from the three-day media tour. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, next hour, 2 on The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.